The community theater known today as Pennsylvania Playhouse was incorporated in 1946. But prior to that date, its beginnings took form from plays and players in 1926. Known as Bethlehem Civic Theater in 1938, and then in the 40s, it was known as the Drawing Room Theater, it wasn't until 1963 that the theater became part of the Bethlehem Redevelopment Project, and its performance space on Old York Road had to be demolished. In May of 1965, ground was broken, and in October of that year, the new 180-seat theater opened its first production under the name of Pennsylvania Playhouse. Another success story, the Broadway musical Annie Get Your Gun, although a fictionalized version of the life of Annie Oakley, was created and produced in New York in 1946. And the incorporation of our great Pennsylvania Playhouse Theater took place at that same year. The 50th anniversary of Ilick's Mill, the Ilick's Mill Theater, Pennsylvania Playhouse, will occur next year in 2015. This is WDIY 88.1 FM Allentown, and you are listening to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host Kate Scuffle, we chat today about Pennsylvania Playhouse and its current production of Annie Get Your Gun. With us is Rebecca Piper Bohan, starring as Annie Oakley, and with Brett Olivera, set and lighting designer extraordinaire. Oh, yes, isn't this that the musical that there's the hit song, The Hills Are Alive?
No, not close.
Oh, yeah. Close.
Try again.
Not the right one.
All right, no.
Oh, well. Welcome anyway.
Thank you.
It's great to have you guys with us. I understand you're opening pretty soon. When's the opening night? It's very quick.
12 days away.
Getting there.
But who's counting?
That's right.
And it's a large cast, 26 people. Is that what?
Yes.
Is that right?
Especially when you get everybody on the stage lined up all next to each other. It's a little overwhelming at first, but we all get along, fortunately. So
it's a great stage. We've always said that we love the thrust, the kind of unusual. The PA Playhouse stage, for folks that might not know, is spacious. It's a thrust, but yet it's really intimate. You're really intimate with the audience. We were talking a little bit before the show, both in terms of acting, how it impacts your acting performance, and Brett, in terms of set design. Could you talk a little bit about a big show like this on that stage and what are the challenges and what's the excitement?
One of the things I like about the Playhouse, it forces you to be a little bit more creative. You don't have wing space like you do in a traditional theater, so you can't slide set pieces on or off. So a lot of times you have to be more... You have to create sets that are going to be more multifunctional, multi-purpose. For this specific one, it's set up as a show within a show. So it begins with Buffalo Bill saying, you know, welcome to my performance of Annie, Get Your Gun. So we designed this to look like a tent. Okay. You're inside his Wild West show. So we did canvas. We have tent peaks. There's a little flag on top, striped it like a circus tent.
Great.
And it's something that you couldn't really do in a traditional proscenium stage because you'd be running into lighting bars and curtains. So it forces you to think outside the box a little bit.
Hmm. And does that apply to the lighting as well?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You have audience sitting on three sides of you, basically. So traditionally with lighting, you hit, you know, left and right. Playhouse, you need to hit left, right, sideways, behind, backwards,
right,
diagonal.
Right.
It forces you to be a little bit more resourceful.
And Brett, we understand that you're not only designing the lights and the set and constructing the set, you are also in the show.
Yes, I am dancing in this one. I didn't want to be bored this summer, so I hadn't been in a show in quite a few years. And originally, I was just going to be doing lighting, so I figured, all right, that won't be as hectic. I'll enjoy dancing in this one too. But they asked me to do set, and I can never say no. So
great.
I'll be sweeping up before and after too, valet parking. You know.
From an actor's standpoint, I've always loved being on the Playhouse stage. It creates much more intimacy with the audience than most other theaters, and not just from the actor's standpoint, but I think when I go to see shows at the Playhouse too, I love how close I feel to the performers.
Uh-huh.
It gives me a different freedom than I have on other stages because I can get up close and personal with the audience and help them be a part of the show. I kind of reference it to film acting in a way because you can do little nuances that wouldn't be picked up on a proscenium type stage. And one of the fun parts is you never truly will ever have your full back to the audience. So you can totally forego that no-no in theater. So it's a nice little way to get out of that one.
Yeah.
And is there any challenges to that? I mean, in a show this size, because I'm used to, you know, if it's a drama, if there's 5-6 actors, it's a very different sense of scale. But I think it would be amazing to kind of bring all that energy to a stage set up that way. So as a musical performer, is it exciting and a different kind of opportunity as well?
Absolutely. I think sometimes you almost have to bring more energy because they are right there with you. Uh-huh. And if you falter even for a second, everyone's going to know it. One thing that I do find a challenge with the stage is costume changes, because exits and entrances, you don't have the same opportunities you would on a proscenium stage. So sometimes, you know, exiting through the audience and hightailing it around the outside of the theater and coming back in the other way for a costume change, but it makes it fun and it creates a fun little challenge.
And how did you, we were talking a little bit earlier too about your journey to the Valley. How did you come to be in the Lehigh Valley arts community?
I went to Westminster Choir College, mm-hmm. and when college was done, I got an internship at Civic Theater, and I was there when it was under the artistic direction of Lenny Leibowitz for mm-hmm. a few years, and I actually auditioned for company, and they didn't have an internship yet, and I was just about finished with that, and he said, well, do you want to stick around and be our first intern? And I said, sure, that'll be great. I'm already here. I'm stuck in a lease, so, you know, why not? And I really started my journey there, and mm-hmm. it helped me to grow my business, and then I ended up at the Pennsylvania Playhouse, mm-hmm. and I've done shows with a bunch of the other area theaters from both sides, directing, mm-hmm. musical directing, and on the stage. So,
musical direction and music on a daily basis. You teach, you...
Yes.
Okay.
I own a voice and piano studio.
All right.
And I teach, I'm on the faculty at DeSales University. I teach voice lessons as part of their theater department.
Very good. And is this role been something you've always wanted to... I mean, is it one of those ones that you think, if I ever get the opportunity?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I played the role 16 years ago, yikes, in college. And I have taken quite a break from theater. I have 2 children, 11 and almost 13.
Okay.
And so for the past 6 or 7 years, I've been just focusing on teaching and my family. And when I heard that this show was coming out and I saw the age requirement, I thought, well, this is probably my last chance.
Oh, wow.
So I thought, you know what? I've always loved this role and for years was waiting for the Playhouse to do it. And as soon as I saw that it was coming out, I talked with my family and we realized it was a good decision. So I'm glad I went for it.
Right.
Amazing. I was just going to say, there's an amazing list of women performers. It's clearly a tour de force for an actress and a performer. We were talking about how diverse, from Cheryl Ladd to Mary Martin to Ethel Merman, obviously Debbie Reynolds, Patti LuPone, Lucy Arnaz, Judy Garland. It's like 20 really interesting, strong female presences with very different sensibilities coming to this role. Mm. So,
and there were also many productions, from what
yeah,
I understand.
Yeah.
I mean, we just found not only the 1946 original, but there was a revival.
Several revivals, but the one you're actually working with, is it 1999?
The 99, yeah, the Bernadette Peters revival.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right. And that differs from other scriptings or other arrangements in what ways?
They did change the arrangement of some of the songs. It really reinforces the show within a show. I joked around, they just wanted to start with "There's no business like show business." So they said, let's just move stuff around to make this work. But I know they moved some of the songs around. I also think, I don't want to give too much away, but the ending on this revival, it has a much better message.
Okay.
It makes the character of Annie a lot stronger than the original ending does. Mm. So I think we all kind of like that a lot better, too.
I want to mention, too, that Betty Hutton was in the film.
What?
If I remember.
I missed that.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, you're too young.
I know. No, it was interesting, too, to see that Irving Berlin, who, this was a big hit for Irving Berlin, was not the original, he was not originally asked to do it. Jerome Kern was, who fell ill and suddenly passed away, frighteningly enough. And Berlin was kind of reluctant. He felt he wasn't the right match for the piece. And they convinced him to go away. If I have my notes here, they said, well, give it a whirl. Look at the script. Do some thinking about it. Come back with something for us. And one of the songs he brought back was "There's No Business Like Show Business." They're like, no, we think you'd probably be a really good match for this.
Yeah, you got it. I think so.
You've got the role.
We might mention, of course, it's directed by Mark Briner, mm-hmm. Who was directed at the Playhouse and other places for many years. Can we name some of the other people in the cast? Of course, we know, Rebecca, you're playing Annie Oakley. Who is Frank Butler?
Jason Zimmer.
Oh, yes, Jason Zimmer. And Buffalo Bill is?
Bill Mutimer.
Oh, great. How about Chief Sitting Bull?
John Recalling.
Yeah, see, we're relating. I can see the people listening to the radio, and they're relating to who these people are. Pawnee Bill.
It's Ted Williams.
Oh, yes, Ted Williams. Of course, there's a whole bunch of other characters that I don't know whether they're in the 1990s production, but there was Tommy Keeler,
yes,
who's the knife thrower.
He's there's a really interesting story about him, actually. Yeah. He's played by John Lynch, and Winnie, his intended in the show, is played by Peyton Sherry. And if you or any of the listeners were watching the Freddies this year, they got engaged on the Freddies.
Oh, did they?
Yes. I heard about this. Yes, yes.
Yeah, so very, it's very nice. Very nice to see that relationship on the stage as well as off.
Not a whole lot of acting involved.
No.
They just kind of stare and give each other doe eyes all the time anyway, so they figured they should put that to good use in the musical.
They got it easy.
Yeah.
And then is Dolly Tate in the 1990s production?
Yes. Monique Caney is playing that role.
Okay. Great. I just want to try to get everybody in. Charlie Davenport, who is the manager of the Wild West show. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Hollingsworth.
Oh, great. Yes. Okay. So I think we covered everybody. I hope so.
And choreographer?
Melissa Kaiser. Mm-hmm. She's phenomenal.
She's been a lot of fun to work with.
Has she?
It's my first time working with her, and she really plays up to everybody's strengths. Mm. You know, nobody is uncomfortable in any movement they have to do, whether they're a dancer by nature or not.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, wow. This is sounding like a really great production. So we're very eager to get to see it.
Has the show been done at the Playhouse before? I'm trying to recall.
I don't believe so.
I don't think so either.
Right. So I think this is the first.
I wasn't sure.
A bunch of firsts with Annie Gets Your Gun and the 50th anniversary, and this is the first time they're doing it. We're very excited about some of the musical numbers because, you know, too many times these numbers are not enhanced in any way outside of the theater production. So we're hearing this music again in another revival, I suppose.
And some of the hits that people might recognize include, obviously, There's No Business Like Show Business. What else? Doing What Comes Naturally.
Doing What Comes Naturally. I Got Lost in His Arms.
Right. Can't Get a Man with a Gun.
Right. Yeah,
ain't that the truth?
Anything You Can Do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and Old Fashioned Wedding is in that's this right, version. And right. that is my absolute favorite piece in this show.
And
when I auditioned, I asked, I said, is this the version with that song? Because that's very important to me.
And your wedding dress, I understand, is a real work of art.
Tell us about that. Yeah.
It's actually not supposed to be a wedding dress, but we were struggling to find a period dress for the one ball gown scene.
Right.
And the phenomenal, and I'm telling you, out of this world costume designers we have for this show found a wedding dress in a thrift store for under $2, and with their amazing vision are creating it into the ball gown dress. So it's kind of fun to play bride for a day.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what's the setting for the ballroom scene? I don't know it in terms of the plot or the story. What's going on with that?
Do you want to talk about
it? Most of the second act. The dancers come out and we spend most of the second act dancing.
Oh.
So we all had to go to CE Roth and get fitted for tuxes, and the girls are in ball gowns. And
wow.
It's a series of different songs. The character Dolly Tate's having a party.
Okay.
Winnie and Tommy sing, and they do a dance, and Annie comes in all prettied up.
Frank and Annie make up and break up and all that, you know, for the fifth time in the show.
Again, at the Pennsylvania Playhouse, Annie Gets Your Gun runs July 25th and 26th, and August 1st through the 3rd, and the 7th through the 10th. And on Sundays, incidentally, those performances are matinees, and they are at 6 p.m., so make sure you put that in your calendar if you're planning on going to a matinee.
And, of course, check out the website at www.paplayhouse.org for tickets and details and anything else that you might need to know.
Yeah, tell your friends, please. Well, you know what? Anything you can do, I might be able to do better.
Mm.
Is that the way it goes?
Mm. You're close.
So close. So almost
I just
there.
Don't have a feel for that.
I have him trained.
We will be right back after these exciting sharpshooting messages.
WDIY is proud to sponsor the Muhlenberg Summer Music Theater's 34th season, featuring Monty Python's Spamalot, a new musical lovingly ripped off from the film Monty Python and the Holy Grail, July 9th through the 27th in the Baker Theater, Trexler Pavilion for Theater and Dance. For more information, 484-664-3333 or online at muhlenberg.edu/smt.
I love her.
I think one of the most important things, too, is that this is the 50th anniversary of Pennsylvania Playhouse. Actually, next year is 2015. Remember I told you about 1965? Well, if you put those numbers together, I think you'll find that that's when it's happening. Anyway, another little bit of history, and because I love the Playhouse so much. The theater, of course, grew and prospered in its new location on Ilick's Mill until December the 31st in 1974. Some of you might remember this, when a fire destroyed the entire stage, the auditorium, the costumes, the scenery, and all of the electrical equipment. The Playhouse continued its operation and was made possible by Northampton County Area Community College's generous offer to let the Playhouse and use its South Campus Theater. The college's stage was used for the next three productions in 1975, while the Ilick's Mill structure, where the Playhouse was rebuilt, eliminating the former proscenium stage and adopting an inventive and very creative thrust stage theater. And we were enjoying it to this day. Yay!
In fact, if Brett, could you tell us a little bit now about how you ended up at the PA Playhouse stage, or your journey through theater here in the Valley?
I used to do stage crew when I was in high school. And shortly thereafter, Parkland High School, where I graduated, had a theater conference, and I met a lot of other local theater techies. And through that, I kind of stumbled accidentally into the Playhouse. I did lighting there for a year. I was in a series of shows at Munopco, and then I just kind of took a break for a couple of years, and I had a conversation with a friend and jokingly offered to do the set for his high school productions, and I was kidding, he wasn't. So that kind of turned into me doing set and lighting and running an after-school stage crew program, and you meet people, you connect with people, and Mary Catherine Bracali, one of the she's always doing shows at the Playhouse. She had told me they were looking for someone to do lighting for La Cage aux Folles.
Oh, okay.
And I never left the Playhouse after that. I just kind of kept signing up for the next show and the next show. But it's different. Every director brings something a little bit different to it. Each theater is a totally different experience. Like I said, the Playhouse is... It forces you to think outside the box in your design and your acting and your makeup, your costumes, everything. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a unique space to work in.
I thought it was interesting that you actually chose to go to university, go to school for theater tech, etc., and found it was too... Why?
It was very structured, very organized. You are assigned one specific task, and that is all that you're given to do. You're focusing lights for this show. That's it. I like to be in control of everything. I can't just focus on one thing. I invariably want to be involved. Well, why are you painting? What are you painting? How are you painting that? Why are you painting that? Oh, and I liked community theater better. I liked the disorganization. If that makes any sense.
This is if I recall now, correct me, this is the third production in a row that you've designed. Have you not? La Cage aux Folles.
I assisted with the set for that. Mickey Brown and John Bracali did the set for that. I just assisted. I did the lighting.
Okay. And then To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah. And the guy that directed that was very difficult to work with. He and his wife, the costumer, were just there was George and Kate, for those of you who don't know.
Now this particular show.
Yes.
I think our audiences would love to know, how does one actually come about designing a set? I mean, how does that occur? Do you just think, I know how to do that, and boom, that's it.
It's an organic process. It kind of grows as the show does. Oftentimes, when a show begins, I'll have a specific idea of how I'd like to do it, and halfway through that changes, and by the time the show's over, that changes again. A lot of times what the actors bring to the performance, that'll change. You'll see something different. It gives you a different concept, a different idea. Some designers are very specific. They do set designs. They do blueprints. I don't do that. I do pretty much everything in my head. I have a very specific idea of how I want it to be in my head, but I just don't put that down on paper.
Right. And then, of course, the lighting design comes next. And from what you've already created, you have a good concept of where the particular scene is going
that
and how it is
created. Always a very interesting process for me. Now that our show together is over, George, I feel comfortable telling you this. I'm colorblind.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes, I know. so that makes it extremely interesting trying to do lighting and painting. Lighting, you have to go with the wavelengths and all sorts of random technical aspects to pick out color mixing. But
Well, you're gifted. I usually
stumble through it and do okay.
One of the things I love about theater is that it's such an ensemble creative process. I don't think you get 20 painters together to arrive at one painting. So you're there creating this kind of magical world and set and lighting, and it's your vision instead of just painting. And Rebecca, for you, you're coming to a part that is iconic. And all kidding aside, with the different people that are all very different that have played it, mm-hmm. you have to find your way into making it your own, Annie. And what drew you to her, and how do you feel about her? What's that journey been like?
Oh, I just love her strength. Mm-hmm. I've always loved. I'm gonna age myself in this, but she's a whippersnapper. I don't know. There's just something about her gumption uh-huh. that I can relate to. Not so much holding a gun and shooting at people, but in general, just her drive and her spunk. I love that. It is slightly scary to step into a role that is so known, though. You know, the first thing you think of when you think Annie, Get Your Gun is always Ethel Merman. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to go into a role trying to be Ethel Merman.
Right.
And I've seen Bernadette Peters and I've seen Reba McEntire play the role. I don't want to be any of them.
Right.
But having all of these women to pull from, it's given me a lot of great ideas mm-hmm. as to who I can make Annie be. And mm-hmm. I hope that I can make her my own, but still in some way pay homage or tribute to what they've put into her. And just to kind of piggyback off of what Brett said a minute ago about how it changes for him as the show starts to what he sees the actors doing, I think it's the same for us from when we go from the green room to when we stage it, to all of a sudden reacting to what's we see around us that we only had a vision of before. But then once he does it, we put it up, it feels different. And it really changes it for us, too. Mm-hmm. And Mark Briner, a fabulous mm-hmm. director, and this is my second time working under him. And he said something last night about, you know, we've been working so hard so far. And then he pointed out how hard all of the other people, the set designers, the lighting designers, the music, the choreographer, the costumers are working. We also owe it to them to make their work shine and not just have, you know, sometimes mm-hmm. people don't see it that way. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really awesome of him to point out. So I'm excited to help lend what I can to that side of the performance as well.
Which is important. And tonight's the first night that you have a musical rehearsal with all 26 folks coming in. That's going to be amazing energy, isn't it? When that starts to happen as you hone in on the opening night.
Yes, it's our last musical rehearsal, but it's our very first time with the entire cast together. So
It's going to be fun.
Yes.
Summer shows are always interesting. People have vacations and conflicts. And Mark's been very, very tolerant and understanding about that.
But. Absolutely.
But all that energy comes together tonight.
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
I love that.
Great. Well, we're looking forward to you on stage, certainly, Rebecca. One of the other shows that you really like to do in the past has been?
Favorites.
My favorites have been She Loves Me. I played Amalia. Mm-hmm. And if that role could ever be done again, I would play it in a second. As well as Paquette and Candide. I've done a lot of opera, too. So Susanna mm-hmm. and The Marriage mm-hmm. of Figaro. Those are some of my favorites. On the Playhouse stage, I absolutely loved playing Nellie Forbush. Just loved her. I would love the chance to play her again.
That would be great.
And Brett, you had something from Notre Dame High School.
Little Women, artistically stylistic. That's still my favorite performance. And Mockingbird is up there, too. That was a lot of fun at the Playhouse.
Oh, that's absolutely super. I just want to remind our audiences again that July the 25th and 26th, August 1st through the 3rd, the 7th through the 10th, is Annie Gets Your Gun, directed by Mark Briner. And we have a wonderful cast. And then upcoming September the 26th is the opening of I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change by Chip Rohrbach, and he's directing. And then they're finishing the season, or at least the year, with December the 5th. There's an opening of A Wonderful Life. It's A Wonderful Life, the live radio play of the 1940s style. So you'll find that exceptional as well. I'm sure we're going to enjoy the production because we're going to be there, and we hope that you out there listening will be there as well. We say, of course, many thanks to Pennsylvania Playhouse for the many years of dedicated talent and service to live theater in the Lehigh Valley. And, of course, to both of you, Rebecca, for being here today, and Brett, a joy to work with you.
Likewise.
And I hope to do so again. We'll see what happens.
And we need to remember our...
Oh, yes. We want to say special thanks, too, to Steve Aronson, our technical cowpoke cowboy. He is around this ranch, anyway, for providing us with a bullseye marksmanship on the audio board and for his dedication in doing what comes naturally.
Oh, that was good.
Oh, thanks, Uncle Stevie.